Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, UK Bills Mafia. This is Christian Wade of your Buffalo Bills. This is the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast with your hosts, Matt and Alex. Let's go, Buffalo! Woo!
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast. Bills news with a UK twist. Alex, Matt here. You've missed us. Come on. Everyone admit that you've missed me and Alex talking, laughing, joking, arguing. Alex, we've had a couple of weeks off. We're all back. How are you feeling?
What's the matter with humanity? Dude, it's friggin' hot and I'm miserable. But 2 weeks ago, when it was chill, I was like, where's summer? Like, fucking pick a side, man.
Jesus. Yep.
Right?
Yeah. I know. Anything on your mind? Sounds like you got something on your mind when you came in with that explosive.
I got more. I hope I don't alienate any of the guests that we've had on, but if you're a reporter and you've pressed the subject about vaccinations with players, fuck off. Like, if they want to talk about it, let them use their platform. Don't force them to use their platform.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to bother you about it. That's how I personally feel. For the team's sake, though, I did hear that, like, training camp could be, a little bit easier on the restrictions if a majority of the players are fully vaccinated. I'm just so sick of this being a thing, you know? I guess I could say something controversial, but...
Go for it.
If you're not getting the vaccine, do you think you're smarter than everyone else? You know, what do you know that like nobody else does? Like, I got it, and I'm not. There's nothing to be afraid of. I trust the scientists and the doctors.
Yeah.
If you're not getting it because, well, I don't know about this, I don't know about that. Let me see your degree. In medical science.
One thing I say is if people have got, I think it was on Channel 4 or Channel 5 last week. I think it was Channel 4. They had a documentary about anti-vax guys.
Fine.
Have a watch of that and actually just see how stupid it sounds.
I don't know if I can handle that, dude.
Well, I managed to watch it. I was laughing the whole way through about it, but I agree.
I do like to laugh at humanity's misfortunes. When someone does something stupid, I do laugh. But like watching like those crazy MAGA people, it's just like depressing to a degree. And it's the same here where, people who have these crazy, crazy ideas, like you don't know better than the experts. So don't act like it. It's so frustrating to hear myself say this stuff out loud because I want to respect other people's views. If Josh Allen doesn't want to get it, then that can't bother me. If Jordan Poyer and what's her face are going to be like that, I can't let it bother me. It's their life. Poyer's a great player. That's all that matters. For me,
yeah,
we're not friends, we're not family, so everything he does off the field should not bother me.
No, exactly.
At the same time, everybody should have the vaccine unless you have medical conditions to.
Yeah.
So, especially if it helps the team, practice better, because I think that gives you an advantage over teams that can't reach, certain numbers. If we can have a traditional training camp and some teams don't, then that benefits us,
Yeah. I think Dan Graziano on Twitter posted the new guidelines for the NFL, NFPL, approved protocols for team personnel and players. If they're fully vaccinated, it's there's no daily testing, no mask required at club facility, no quarantine after exposure to COVID positive individual, no travel restrictions.
And that's for every player.
Vaccinated family. That's if you're fully vaccinated.
If every you're not player fully vaccinated, on, every player
have it. Every player.
Every player.
Obviously, they've got. I think.
So it's not like 80% or 90%. It has to be every player.
Each team. Yeah.
Okay.
If you're not fully vaccinated, you're still subject to daily testing.
Okay.
Masks still have to be worn at the facility.
Yeah.
You're still subject to physical distancing requirements, quarantine after exposure, travel restrictions, capacity limits, no meals in the meal room, no use of store in a steam room, no interaction with vaccinated friends or family during travel.
It's the quarantine that's the issue, because like if one player gets it, his close contacts have to quarantine and they might miss games. That's the biggest thing, I would say.
Yeah, I think it's one of those where the players, I'm not going to beat around the bush, say, oh, Josh Allen hasn't had the vaccination, Josh Tashin's not going to have the vaccine. I don't care. As long as he's healthy, as long as he's out there on the field, leading the Bills to the championship game and to the Super Bowl, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing I'm going to say is, obviously, going to just quickly go back to this conspiracy stuff. Just Google Andrew Wakefield. COVID, and then you'll see all this conspiracy shit that's going on.
All right. That's been like the hot button issue lately, you know. It's just, but my biggest issue, it's not what the players, it's not what people making their decision about whether they're going to get it or not. My biggest issue is with that's all the frigging reporters are asking the players about. I mean, think about how much pressure these guys should feel about winning football games, about the extra game, about getting so close, about what's your response going to be? You know, do you feel added pressure? Are you, you know, what are you, how can you take your game to the next level? That's what we should be talking about. But instead we're talking about, are you going to get the vaccine? Like, I just want it to be over.
Yeah.
So let's talk about football.
Yeah. So before we move on to what we've got lined up, obviously, as you know, me and Alex weren't here for the last 2 weeks. The last episode we had on here, it was a guest show. It was from Tim and Charlie. You probably both know them from the Defend Your Draft series on there. Now they've got a new podcast, which is part of the new UK Bills podcast network, Bills From Afar podcast. I would suggest that when you finish listening to this, get on Twitter, give them a follow at Bills From Afar, at Bills From Afar. Give them a like, give them a follow, and keep going, because they're going to be having chats and interviews with Bills fans worldwide and in the UK, and they're going to do other stuff on there. So it's definitely something, and I definitely recommend following and listening to. And if not, go back to the last episode, listen to their pilot episode. It's worth a listen, and definitely go give them a follow.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, Bills fans podcast for Bills fans, especially internationally. It's great to see that, you know, we need more of this, you know?
Yeah, they've got another one being dropped. They are dropped. Oh, I'm dropping it later on today, later on Monday when you get this. So definitely give them a check out.
Yeah, that's great.
So let's move on. Let's go. OTAs. Obviously,
okay.
They're voluntary. Yes. They're all voluntary at the moment. I think they have one mandatory OTA, but the rest are voluntary. Let's look at week one. The absentees were Emmanuel Sanders, Tywan Jones, Stephon Diggs, Mario Addison, Jerry Hughes, Vernon Butler, Darrell Williams, Mitch Morse, Devin Singletary, and Star Lutelay.
Does that bother you?
No.
Me
it doesn't bother
Good.
Me.
I mean, yes, it doesn't bother me either.
Everyone sees Star not on that list and thinking, what's the point of him coming back on there? It's voluntary. He's 31, he's a veteran. I understand if say a first year guy or rookie mm-hmm. doesn't attend it, I would be a bit annoyed about that, because it's time for them to meet the coaches for the first time or get a little bit out of practice in before training camp on there. But these veterans, I don't blame them if they want to miss it. I mean, Diggs was, I think, still struggling a little bit with his injury, although he did do a little magazine shoot on there. But Starr, he is what he is. I mean, he dropped out because of COVID reasons. Maybe he's everyone saw the video of him working out mm-hmm. and training. He's looking fit.
Yeah.
Let's just wait till he gets to get back. I mean, week two.
The veterans earned the right to not have to be here. I mean, if this was the Bills of 3 years ago, I'd be like, everyone needs to be here. We need to get better. But you know, we good. So I think it's all right.
Yeah. I mean, week two, we were missing, not attending was Starr, Vernon Butler, Mario Addison, Jerry Hughes, Tywan Jones, Mitch Moore, Star Williams.
Yeah. A name on there that I want to ask you about. Mitch Morse, are you worried about production? Are you worried about his career? Are you worried about his contract, his health? Is that someone that we might want to replace sooner rather than later?
I mean, the only thing I'm worried about him is the concussion history.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely something that next year in the draft that I think that we should get draft a center.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely something down the line on there. I mean, short term, I mean, you've got Feliciano that can jump in center. Mm-hmm. Ryan Bates has taken a few snaps in center. Preferably I think they've not. Been working out rookie. They've been working out rookie Jake Anderson.
Yeah.
At center. Mm-hmm. So they've got options on there. And I mean, it is just the concussion bit that's worried about him. I think his play overall, regardless of whether he's good at pulling and good in specific systems, he is that veteran. He's the veteran on there. The only thing I'm concerned about with him is his concussion history. I mean, one more concussion in training camp or in the regular season or anything like that, then move on.
What do you think if his production slides? Are you willing to, is he like a bench right away kind of player, or does he get a leash? Because I'm thinking like if he starts to struggle, I mean, he didn't grade out very well last year. He was fine, but I think a big part of the running game is going to be, you know, his production. Do we move Feliciano over and maybe play one of the other guys at guard? How long of a leash are you giving him?
I mean, it depends. I think if we can find out the reason why, if it's costing us, if he's had one game, say, let's say week four.
One game is fine, yeah, but it's got to be a consistent thing.
Yeah, if in week four, and we play the Texans that week, if he has a rubbish game and Josh Allen gets creamed up the middle for it, I would say, yeah, okay, that may be a one-off. If it happens the next couple of weeks, especially when we have the two big games coming up,
yeah.
If against the Chiefs and the Titans, he does that, he actually he drops his production, then I would say move Feliciano over, either bring in a guard, sign a guard, draft a guard, or bring in a guard, trade for a guard, or
well, I think we. I mean, guys. With the guys that we brought in, obviously some of the free agents that we brought in aren't very, you know, interesting. But you know, we did draft, so I just wonder if somebody, you know, breaks out, if there's a splash, he's the first guy to get replaced. Yeah, or would it be maybe depending on how Ford looks?
I think it would be Cody Ford.
Yeah. Huh.
I think Cody Ford's out of the two, if you say Morse and Ford,
yeah.
Forget about injuries and all that. If production goes, I think Ford would be more of a casualty than Morse. Because with Ford, you've got Feliciano can drop over, you've signed Forrest Lamp, you've got Jack Anson, you've got guys that can play both left and right tackle. With Mitch Morse, if you go down, you just have Feliciano on there. You bring in someone to replace Feliciano right guard. If Ford goes bad, then you're in a bit of a quandary.
Yeah.
But that's kind of my opinion on there.
Yeah, it'll definitely be something that we talk about later as well. So on the OTAs, I'm going to ask because I'm not paying attention, you know. I don't think that anything could be gleaned from anyone's performance at OTAs. One thing that I know it's a different sport. So apologies if what I'm going to say is completely crazy. But in baseball, in spring training, their preseason, a lot of guys do really well. And then when the season starts, they're complete crap. If someone looks really good in OTAs, like, wow, this guy did that, or wow, look at this catcher, wow, this guy stopped digs, it doesn't translate to a game.
Yeah.
So there anything that you're interested in, or are you like, you know what, just stay healthy? I mean, is there any storylines in OTAs?
A moment, obviously, stay healthy and all that is definitely number one on there, but what I want to see, I mean, yeah, it's OTAs, it's voluntary. They go half pace, three quarter pace. There's no contact, no pads or anything like that. So
yeah, it's all about fundamentals and technique.
Yeah, but it seems like Dane Jackson's had quite an OTA so far. I mean, in the off season, he was actually seen working out with Aaron Donald. Obviously, pit guy, but yeah. See some of the stuff where he's moving the tire, and this is Dane Jackson. He's a small guy, size-wise, weight-wise, compared to Aaron Donald. He's actually flipping these tires that you probably get on the World's Strongest Men actually do on there. But he's had a quiet but very good OTA. I mean, he's picked off Allen in OTA 1, followed the eyes, jumped the route.
Here we go. You're building the hype, man. You're building hype.
I'll build hype.
You are.
Second OTA, he actually lined up one-on-one with Stephon Diggs and again broke up a play from Allen to Diggs.
Okay.
So, and we saw what he did in the limited times he had last season. He'd actually shown that he can be that guy. And I think that is going to be a very interesting battle. And I'm kind of thinking that he may be a front runner for it because as of yet, they haven't brought in another. Obviously, had issue. They've brought in cornerbacks to try out, but they've not really signed anyone.
Not yet. Yeah.
So I don't know whether they actually think that Dane Jackson is up there above Levi Wallace at the moment, or on level par with Levi Wallace at the moment. But it's definitely one to look out for in training camp.
Well, here's how I might see how Brandon Bean operates. Do you think we were really in on Julio Jones? Would you have given up a second and a fifth?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, okay. I can understand people saying that, yes, go for it. It's only a second and a fifth. We did it with Diggs, a first and a fourth on there. But you're taking his whole contract, was it about 30 odd million or something like that? Yeah. You have to take over his contract, restructure it. You've got obviously Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds next year are getting their fifth year option unless they do a deal beforehand. So that's 30 million for that cap.
And Julio was really hobbled. I followed his season closely last year because I had him in one of my important money leagues. In fantasy, not young and pretty hobbled. There's a reason why Atlanta traded him. They thought that he was expendable.
They need to pay for their rookies.
but my point is, if Bean was willing, and just like he did with maybe JJ Watt, remember maybe JJ Watt? You know, we had those conversations.
Yeah.
If he's willing to take a veteran and play him over an up and coming rookie, like if we did Julio, then Gabe Davis doesn't play that much. If we do Watt, then Epinesa doesn't play that much. So
wouldn't have signed Russo and
exactly. Yeah. So like what with Dane Jackson?
It's
is Bean, because he went for Watt, does he feel more comfortable, or is it McDermott? Do they feel more comfortable with the established guy playing for 1 year in really bringing the young guy along slowly? Because in that case, maybe the money that we saved on the Diggs restructure goes towards Sherman. I saw a report that it's going to go towards Allen's massive contract. But someone said that was hogwash. So it's what do you think about Dane? Like, would you prefer a veteran, or do you want to let the kids play?
I'd like to see a veteran come in.
Okay.
I'd like to see a veteran come in. To start, possibly not. I think we mentioned this during the draft season. Bean's philosophy is draft and develop.
Right.
So his idea is to develop. I mean, obviously, he wants a veteran in every position.
Yeah.
Hence why we'll probably be they're looking at Zach Ertz or potentially
except for wide receiver. For quarterback, because at quarterback they had Nathan Peterman as
I wouldn't mind seeing a veteran come in, but if Dane Jackson comes into pads and all that and lights up, I think you've got that starter opposite Trey, and bringing in a veteran in, maybe if you get Sherman on a good 1 year deal to come
not,
in,
but will you're not letting Sherman, you're not giving him half reps, you know. Sherman comes in and he's a starter on the opposite side. So what would you rather have? Do you want to see Sherman all year, or do you want to see Dane Jackson all year?
Ideally, I'd like to see Dane Jackson all year.
All right, so then. All right, yeah, then we're not bringing in an established guy.
Okay, so we're not going to bring in a veteran that'll come in week one, start opposite Trey White. We'll bring in a veteran that'll come in and can be serviceable if Dane has like maybe a game or two.
Want a Josh Norman type?
Yeah.
Yeah?
If we get a Josh Norman type, they can come in, spell out when needed, and be that little presence, that veteran presence, that mentor role. Mm-hmm. For Dane, I'd quite happily do that. With the Diggs contract, it is going to be fun. It is going to be interesting to see what they do with it. They've converted his 11.7 million of his base salary to a signing bonus. Mm-hmm. 7.81 cap space created for 2021. He was scheduled to make 12.7 base salary. It's now down to 990,000. And it also adds 3.9 million to the cap in 2022 and 23.
It's not even that bad. I mean, the cap's going to really go up next year. So, All right. So I'm impatient. What the hell are we doing?
To be honest, I think I've mentioned it a couple of times. It more than likely will probably go towards Allen's new contract, because it'll kick in after his fifth year. So we've still got him for 2 years on that little salary.
But we have the cap space this year. Putting this money towards Allen wouldn't do anything for this year, because we have the fifth year option on him, right?
We're looking that's okay. So you could probably get someone in.
Yeah, the whole idea is to get someone in this year. It has to be, especially when we do this with Diggs and the other players that we did this with. We're adding money to next year's cap. So it's all about this year. So they have a player in mind. They have a position in mind that they want to go spend money on. What position is that?
It's going to be, it's more than likely, it'll either be cornerback or tight end. But I'm going to play devil's advocate in here. I mean, obviously next year, the salary cap, they're saying the ceiling is more than likely, this is Perfield Yates. It's likely to be 208.2 million at the moment. That there's six teams that are actually above 200 million in cap commitments for 2022 at the moment. The Bills are at 201 million behind the Giants, 202, Saints 208, Rams 212, Cowboys 228, and Packers 237.
Well, that doesn't mean anything to me because, I mean, there is... you're going to have Daryl Williams off the books next year. You're going to have Jerry Hughes off the books next year.
We've also got like 25, 26 free agents.
Yeah, you might have Emmanuel Sanders off the books next year. So whatever next year's cap hit looks for us next year, I'm not bothered by that. It's all about this year. So
you're kind of thinking,
so you don't want it to be Sherman. So you want it to be either a depth corner, or would that money, would you be happy if that money went towards trading for Ertz? When we talked earlier, you said you want the young guys to play. So that's Knox not getting as many reps if we bring in Ertz. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I'm not, everyone seems to be on board with Ertz and all that. And don't get me wrong, he is a good player. He's a guy that obviously he's been pretty much the staple point of this of the Philadelphia offense.
Absolutely.
On there. And he's a guy that is your safety net on there that can even help Dawson.
I wouldn't even call him a safety net. I call him an absolute like number one target. He's been. He's okay. Not old. People think he's old. He's just been productive for a long time. I think he's a year younger than Kelsey.
I mean, don't get me wrong. You get him, but then you're going to have to try and restructure. And if you can get, if Bean can work magic and chuck, say, a fifth round.
Even with this Diggs money, we'd still have to do something.
We'd probably still have to restructure because I think I think where he's at, where's salary cap or this cap hit is going to be, is going to be right about the amount that we have for Diggs. I mean, people tweet in if I'm wrong on that, but I think it's close enough what we would actually have to take from Zach Ertz's contract to put onto ours. There might be just about the same amount as we actually we have after the Diggs restructure.
Yeah.
So I'm
in. You want to leave room because call ups and stuff like that. I mean, you want to have flexibility during the season.
Exactly. I'd rather have the flexibility. I mean, if he gets released, if no one goes for him, he gets released. Great.
Preferably.
You get him.
But then you have other teams competing for him and you don't want that.
Yeah, but then he gets the free choice. I mean, if he sees we're the better option, say for example, the Bengals, Houston, Chicago, or
I don't want to go to any of those teams over the Bills if I'm a player.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. Unless the likes of Indianapolis, Kansas City, right. Chargers, and Arizona really come in, maybe Baltimore.
Well, is with Julio Jones now, is Tennessee like a? Are they projected to finish better than us?
No,
they're not. They kind of seem like a darling. Maybe it's just because that's all anybody's talking about right now. But like, I wonder if this puts them in people's minds over the Bills.
It'll put in people's minds with that offense. I mean, Jones.
Allen is still light years better than Tannehill. Yeah, I said light years.
Yeah. The only thing I would say is defense. The Tennessee Titans, they seem to be building the explosive offense, but I think they've lost a fair few people on defense.
Yeah.
And that really...
Their production last year on defense definitely slipped.
And they're taking his whole contract on there. They had like $3 million like in cap space when they actually took on that Julio Jones.
Yeah, contract. It's a huge number.
So they're going to have to make lots and lots of cuts, and where they're going to come from. You're not going to cut AJ Brown. Obviously, you're not going to cut Tannehill. You're not going to cut Derrick Henry.
Yeah,
some of the defense you're not going to cut. So they're going to have to restructure big time some of these contracts.
Well, they clearly had a plan in mind, or else they wouldn't have done it. I just don't. I'm glad we didn't. I don't see how it's worth it. I would even stake a claim that, I'm not going to say that. I was going to say something stupid like Emmanuel Sanders is going to have a better statistical season than Julio Jones. That's a massive hot take. And I don't really believe that, because if Julio Jones stays healthy, he's going to be a monster. I just kind of don't believe in his health.
No. I mean, just put it this way. The Titans now, with that Julio Jones signing, and this is according to Spotrac, are $9.1 million over the cap.
And they got to get that down before the season starts. Yeah, so.
Yeah. And what the Bills are, we're what, 17th with 9.8, I've said. This is Spotrac. Other sites may vary on there. I use Spotrac on there. But they've taken that big cap hit, and that's just for their top 51. Yeah. Their total cap is $223 million.
Mm.
So they're going to have to make a lot of cuts. They're going to have to do a lot of restructuring on there, which will affect it. I mean, as much as I would love Julio Jones, don't get me wrong, I would love Julio Jones in there. Him, and especially with Diggs and Beasley in there as well, Gabe Davis coming in, and on occasions, you've got an offense to fit around Josh Allen and actually go for that, push that 1 year. Let's make a 1 year break for the Super Bowl with Julio Jones and see if we make it, and then see what happens. If we don't make it with Julio Jones and we signed and take over his contract, we're stuck with in cap hell.
Yeah.
For the next however many years. And it's probably not likely that he will want to restructure that much. So I say let him be Tennessee's problem with the on cap size. They've got to find a way of getting involved and actually getting that defense up and running. So they may score a load of points, but they've got to stop loads of points as well.
Yeah. So we got good updates. I think the most important question I have is, I'm going to Wendy's tomorrow. What should I get? I'm remarkably excited. I've talked to a lot of people who have been to America, and they say Wendy's was their favorite fast food joint while they were there. You're not too far from Reading. Do you plan on going ever?
I have no idea. Possibly not at the moment. No? Maybe if they expand on there. But the one thing we actually missed out when we're talking about OTAs and what's happened to the Bills, is friend of the show, Reed Ferguson. His 3-year contract extension.
I'd rather talk about Wendy's than the long snapper. But
highest paid long snapper in the NFL, team captain the last 2 years, second longest tenured player after Jerry Hughes, not missed a single snap since he's been drafted in 2016.
Had
one errant snap.
Of the team, wonderful personality, great guy, great in the locker room. Congratulations on your contract. But honestly, Baconator or triple cheeseburger? All right, let's focus here. It's the off season. It's June. Let's talk about the important things.
All right, let me bring up the they got a UK website I can bring up the menu.
I honestly don't know. I'm kind of going in blind. I know what the American menu is. I don't know if it's any different here. Obviously their standout is their Baconator. I mean, we're talking about two beef patties, two slices of cheese, and like 4 or 6 pieces of streaky bacon, crispy too. So it's a solid fucking bacon. Now I know, speaking from experience, American McDonald's and UK McDonald's are massively different. Yours is much drier because you can't put all the gross stuff that America puts in it. So I'm wondering how this is going to go, but
right, yeah, okay.
This is a big,
looks like they have it. Okay. Let's have a look.
I mean, it has apologies to you. I know that you're really trying to run a Bills Twitter here, but I posted it on Twitter and it has been our most popular tweet over the last few months. So sorry about that, but any engagement with the fans is good engagement. So it's been
okay.
Fun.
So what options did you give?
I said Baconator, spicy chicken burger, classic double, or the classic triple.
Okay, all right.
If you said classic triple, then you're just trying to kill me. luckily, that only has 14% of the vote.
Okay, Dave triple, Dave double, Dave single, Baconator. Right, let's have a look. Chicken sandwiches. Let's have a look. Come there. Spicy chicken. Okay, so
does the UK site call it chicken burger or chicken sandwich?
They call it chicken sandwiches.
Ah, see, how do you feel about that? Because I know you all call it a chicken burger over here.
I don't mind it, to be honest. Chicken sandwich, chicken burger. Everyone has their own ways of saying it. To me, it's a chicken burger. I don't care if they call it a chicken sandwich. But okay. In answer to your question, I would say that I would go for the Baconator, to be honest. But then again, I'm a guy that goes to McDonald's or Burger King and gets a quarter pounder, a bacon double cheeseburger meal.
Yeah.
So I stuff the bacon.
I cannot stand McDonald's bacon. It is so bad.
No, that's why I go for McDonald's go for Burger King a few times on there. But Baconator would be my choice.
All right. Well, I mean, one comment said get them all, and I really don't want to argue against that guy. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely, if they expand out a little bit more in the UK, I probably will.
Yeah, all right. I think you're not one to go to make a drive for fast food. I don't blame you. That's probably the smart decision.
I think by the time I get there, order it, get it back, it'll probably be stone cold, especially with traffic.
Oh no, I'm eating in the car. I'm not trying to come back home with it.
Yeah, but to be honest, I can't get fast food unless they not get the missus fast food.
Yeah, my wife did say, you better bring me back something. And I said, well, it's a thought that counts, right? So I'll just think of you while I'm eating it. That didn't go over very well.
No. So yeah, keep voting on that tweet. We'll get the results on there. Ooh, right, bit of breaking news.
Ooh, breaking news.
Breaking news. Bills to hold training camp at 1 Bills Drive.
Oh, sorry, Rochester.
Yeah, so it seems like they're going back to...
Clearly, COVID still influencing the way things work.
Yeah. So, yeah, training camp will be at 1 Bills Drive. So, who knows? We brought a breaking news story. Bills informed St. John's.
Also breaking news, our training camp gear looks okay. I like the hat. The bucket hat is making a comeback, and I don't know how I feel about that. I'm not a big fan of the bucket hat.
No.
Not liking it, no. But the actual hat, it's got the blue, red, and blue stripe behind the logo. The logo, all blue, with a white outline. I kind of like it.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. I mean, it's getting to the exciting part now of the season. I mean, coming up on the next few episodes, we're going to probably dive into positional groups and training camp battles, try and get a few guests on. I'm going to try and get a couple of beat reporters who have actually been to OTAs just to give us an update on Christian Wade and Efe Obada.
Mm-hmm.
And how they're getting on there. But yeah, keep following us on Twitter at UK_Bills, at RWBB_podcast, UK Bills on Instagram, Buffalo Bills UK on Facebook and YouTube, obviously.
And check out the new show.
And check out the new show at Buffalo From Afar. And that episode will drop soon. And have you got anything else to add?
No, I feel good. No. I'm happy with what we just talked about. We kind of hit all the points. And real quick.
Go on.
Are you nervous about this year in terms of, pressure on the players? Or was it all, was Josh Allen a one-hit wonder? Is your expectation we should be better? Would you be happy with same, or are you nervously expecting a dip?
I'm expecting the same sort of performance.
Okay.
The same sort of thing on there. Anything going up higher than that is even more of a bonus and shows how well this whole team is gelling and actually working towards that goal. I'm not worried at all about the upcoming season. I don't think there'll be any regressions from anyone. I think they're now going to be motivated now fans are allowed back in the stadium.
Yeah. Yep.
On there. So I can't see anything. Anything.
Oh man, more. I know that you don't watch hockey, but the fucking energy at the hockey games with the full stadiums, like in Las Vegas. Oh my God. It's just so energetic. And it's like, it just creates, oh man, I'm pumped when I watch it, and I'm just watching highlights, but it's, yeah. I can't wait for this team to play in front of the fans.
Yeah.
But I mean, I should have known you were going to say that. I mean, obviously you're Mr. Optimistic. So of course that you're expecting to go well.
What? So okay. What's your view then?
I'm a little nervous, honestly. Not because I'm expecting anything to go poorly. I'm expecting the same from Josh Allen. It's just, this is uncharted territory for me as a Bills fan, having high expectations, like super high expectations. Like last year I had high expectations and they were met, but now it's like AFC championship game or bust. Is it Super Bowl or bust?
No, not Super Bowl bust. I think we still got,
because we feel like we have a core that can make it every year. Oh yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, AFC championship game or bust. And if things don't look, you know, if Josh Allen's not an MVP caliber quarterback this year, I'm not expecting it. I'm just nervous because we don't get what we want often.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. I get it. I mean, yeah. We'll talk about more of this during the off season with our guests, with our team preview positions and all that. So all I say is for Alex and Matt is thank you for listening. Keep subscribing, follow our new podcast, and go Bills.
Go Bills.
Yeah, not us. You don't know anything about heart. You know anything about work?
That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.